Let's go to our scripture reading here today. I know we are in an expository study of the book of Galatians, but today we are going to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 13, and I am going to read verses 13 and 14. Acts chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. And if you have your place in your Bible, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read. Just these two quick little verses here. From the book of Acts, God's word says this. Now Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. But John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But going on from Perga, they arrived at Pisidian Antioch. And on the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue and sat down. We'll just stop right there. Let's pray. Father, a lot of scripture reading here this morning that we're about to undertake. And I pray, Lord, that we will learn a whole lot more about these churches in Galatia from what we are about to read and study here this morning. We just trust you that we will know more about your truths and about this church. We ask this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. You may be seated. Today, we're going to continue in this expository study of the book of Galatians, and this is week number 27. And I have titled today's message, Background. We're going to do something a little bit different here today. So let me just start off by saying this. I get asked quite often by friends that I hadn't seen for quite a while, how did I ever get involved in Christian ministry? And when they ask that question, I love to tell that story because I like to give the background history of how I got from there, wherever there may have been when I knew that person, to where I am here now in the year 2021. I love to tell that story, give them some background information. Well, we have spent the last 26 weeks in the book of Galatians, and we are halfway through. We've finished up chapters 1, 2, and 3. And what I want to do here this morning is this. I want to tell the background story of Paul's first visits to these churches in the area of Galatia. I want to answer some questions. Actually, we'll let the scriptures answer some questions. How were the churches founded, and what did Paul and some others experience during these times of founding these churches? How did he get from wherever he was to this area that we call Galatia? And to do that, I'm going to be doing a lot of reading from the book of Acts here this morning. And kind of what I want us to do here today is kind of put on the hat of a person that may have been living in that area 2,000 years ago. We're living in the area of Pisidia, or we're living in the area of Galatia. Because I want us all to get a feel of when this man, Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, now Paul the Apostle, when he came into our city, because this is, remember, we're kind of role-playing here, came into our city, and what he experienced during that time and afterwards, and what would have ever prompted him to write us a letter. Because maybe we think everything is going just fine. Well, to do that here this morning, I'm going to put this map up, and I got my pointer with me here today. And first, let's get our geography straight. We know that Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, was here in Jerusalem, and he was on his way up here to Damascus, which is kind of in the area of Syria. And he was going there because he was going to persecute people of the way, the people who are of this Jesus follower, of these Christians. And he was going to go to Damascus. He was going to bring them back to Jerusalem, persecute them, and possibly even kill them. But we know that when he was on his way, he had a, what we call a Damascus Road experience. He was blinded. He was blinded for 3 days. He went into Damascus, and they let him out, and he went back to Jerusalem. And we know this. When he got back to Jerusalem, he was this transformed man. And everybody was saying, we're glad that you're transformed. At least the disciples were saying that. But a lot of the Jews, they didn't like Paul, this new guy. And they wanted to kill him. So what did they do? Well, we can read about that in the book of Acts. They sent him from Jerusalem up here to Antioch of Syria. And this is kind of where Paul was using as his home base at this point in time. He had just become a Christian. He was a transformed man. He was now up here in Antioch. And now he's preparing to take what we call his first missionary journey. Now, going out will be represented in the blue, and coming back will be represented in the red. And we see that he's going out from Antioch. He gets in a boat, goes to Salamis, goes on the island of Cyprus, and he's at Paphos. And this is his first missionary journey. Now I'm going to put another slide up here, now we can see it a whole lot better. The blue, he goes out, and we see he goes as far as Derbe, and then he comes back via the red, back to Antioch. And we'll talk about that. So what I'm going to do here this morning is I'm going to be doing some reading. I'm going to start off by reading Acts chapter 13, verses 13 through 16. And what we'll do is we'll kind of follow Paul's path and what he experienced in finding these churches way back 2,000 years ago. Now, Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos, from here, and came to Perga in Pamphylia, up here. But John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But going on from Perga, they arrived at Pisidian Antioch, up here. And on the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue and sat down. Now, we read that this morning. Now, let's find out what happens after that. After the reading of the law and of the prophets, the synagogue officials sent to them, saying, "Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it." Paul stood up and, motioning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen." Now, I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to say a couple things here. One, if you still have your Bibles open, that would be a good thing, because I want you to kind of follow along in the book of Acts as we go through these verses. And two, one of the things that he's talking about here, he says in verse 16, he says, "Men of Israel," and then he says, and "you who fear God." Now, he's actually addressing two different groups of people. The men of Israel would be the Jews that are there in the synagogue, and those who fear God would be the Gentiles. So we'll kind of break this up. You people over here, you're the Jews in this city, and you people over here, and Daryl, you're the Gentiles in this city. So I'll address you accordingly. But he's going to say something to these people who are at the synagogue right here in Antioch. What does he say? Verse number 17. I'm going to read 17 through 25. "The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt, and with an uplifted arm. He led them out from it. For a period of about 40 years, he put up with them in the wilderness. When he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land as an inheritance, all of which took about 450 years. After these things, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. After he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will.' From the descendants of this man, according to promise, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus. after John had proclaimed before his coming a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And while John was completing his course, he kept saying, "What do you suppose that I am? I am not he, but behold, one is coming after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie." Excuse me, we'll just stop there. So what is Paul doing here right now? He's with Barnabas and probably some others, probably with Luke, the man who wrote this book, and he's preaching the gospel for the first time to the people. Now, the people on this side, the Jews, they may have known that story. They may have known about Saul. They may have known about King David. But the Gentiles, they're proselytes. They're new to this whole thing. They don't know any of this Jewish history, or there's a good chance that they might not. But what Paul is doing right now, he's presenting the gospel, maybe not the entire gospel, but he's presenting it to the people at this church in this area right here. Let's move on. I'm going to read 26 through 39. I told you I'll be doing a lot of reading this morning, but remember, you are role-playing. You are one of these people at any of these churches. Here's how these churches got started. Verse 26. "Brethren, sons of Abraham's family, and those among you who fear God." Again, he's addressing the Jews and the Gentiles. "To us, the message of this salvation has been sent. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, recognizing neither him nor the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled these by condemning him." Condemning who? Condemning Jesus. "And though they found no ground for putting him to death, they asked Pilate that he be executed. When they had carried out all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, the very ones who are now his witnesses to the people. And we preach to you the good news of the promise made to the fathers, that God has fulfilled this promise to our children, and that he raised up Jesus, as it is written in the second psalm, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' As for the fact that he raised him up from the dead, no longer to return to decay, he has spoken in this way, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David.' Therefore, he also says in another psalm, 'You will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay.' For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay. But he who God raised would not undergo decay. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and through him everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses." Paul has just proclaimed pretty much the gospel to these people. Yeah, there's going to be more to it. He's got to give them more specifics, but he's telling them this: the law can never save you. It is now going to be a matter of faith in this man, Jesus. You know that Messiah that you have been waiting for? He is finally here. Paul is proclaiming the good news to the people here at Antioch Pisidia. But what happens? Two more verses. Let's look at 40 and 41. Paul says this: "Therefore, take heed, so that the things spoken of it in the prophets may not come upon you. Behold, you scoffers, and marvel and perish, for I am accomplishing a work in your days, a work which you will never believe, though someone should describe it to you." I'm going to stop right there. He's given a warning to those who are not going to buy into this gospel message. Paul has been sent by Jesus. He's proclaiming the good news. And he is saying right up front, there's probably going to be some of you who are not going to accept what I'm about to say. Verses 42 and 43. "As Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. Good news, the people, the Jews, and the God-fearing Greeks wanted to know more about this. Tell us more about this Savior, that this Messiah, this man Jesus. Come on back next Saturday, next Sabbath, and tell us about this. And continue urging them to continue in the grace of God. Please come on back, Paul and Barnabas. Verses 44 and 45. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But, there's always that transition word, but when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. There's always going to be somebody who's not going to like what the word of God has to say, and they're going to want to stir up people. And he says right here that they were jealous. Paul and Barnabas were attracting the crowds here in the city in Antioch, and the other Jews didn't like that. So what happens? Verses 46 through 49. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us. I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth." Well, when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many had been appointed to eternal life, believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. All right, Paul says this. All right, you Jews. And he points to the people on this side over here with his pointer. All right, you Jews, you don't want to accept this message, but the Gentiles do. That's it. I've had it with the Jewish people. I am now going to take the message to the Gentiles. And we know that. John 3:16. For God so loved who? The world. So loved everybody. So now we see there's opposition. The Jews don't like Paul and Barnabas. So what happens? Let's look at the rest of the chapter, 50 through 52. But the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust of their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So they're being persecuted. It doesn't sound like anything out of the ordinary, but they didn't like him. So Paul and Barnabas said, "Hey, we're out of here. We're going to go somewhere else. We're going to go proclaim the good news somewhere else." So where do they go? Let's follow the blue line. The book of Acts tells us they go to Iconium, and that's exactly where they end up, Iconium. Now, just to give you a distance here, between Antioch and Iconium is about 85 miles. Now you got to remember, if they are walking on a good day, you could walk about 20 miles a day. So it's going to take them at least 4 to 5 days to get from here, for where they're at in Antioch, to the next place, Iconium. So that's where they are at right now. They are turning to the Gentiles. So let's see what happens. Let's continue to read in chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. What happens when they get to Iconium? In Iconium, I forgot to say this. When they were at Antioch, they were in an area called Pisidia. Now that they are in Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, this is the area called Galatia. So they are now in the area of Galatia. The churches in Galatia would be these three. Some theologians include Antioch in the area of Galatia, but for certain, these three churches right here are the churches in Galatia. Verse 1. In Iconium, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both of Jews and of Greeks. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore, they spent a long time there, speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided, and some sided with the Jews, and some sided with the apostles. Here you go. Paul goes in, and he upsets the apple cart, doesn't he? Everything's just fine, Paul and Barnabas, until you guys show up. You start delivering this message about the Messiah. Some people like it. Some people don't like it. And we see that the Jews were inciting even the Gentiles in this city against what Paul and Barnabas were saying. So now they are in the area of Galatia, verses 5 through 7. What happens now? And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and to stone them, they became, who's they, Paul and Barnabas, became aware of it and fled to the cities of Lysaonia, Lystra and Derbe, and the surrounding region. And there they continued to preach the gospel. So, trouble's brewing here in Iconium. We got to get out of here because they were threatening to stone them. So now they are going to Lystra. My geography book says that that is a distance of about 30 miles. So they've gone 85 miles from Antioch, 30 more miles from Iconium to Lystra. And that's where they are at right now. And it says that they'll eventually move on to Derbe. And we'll get to that here in a second. So let's look at verses 8 through 18. Some interesting things happening here now. At Lystra. Here we are at one of the churches in Galatia. At Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze on him and had seen that he had faith to be made well, said with a loud voice, "Stand up, upright, on your feet." And he leaped up and began to walk. When the crowds saw what Paul had done, they raised their voice, saying in the Lysaonian language, "The gods have become like men and have come down from us." And they began calling Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their robes and rushed out into the crowd, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We're also men of the same nature as you and preach the gospel to you that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In the generations gone by, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways. And yet he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Even saying these things with difficulty, they restrained the crowds from offering sacrifices to them." So in Lystra, they perform a miracle. A guy who could never walk from birth can now walk. It's a miracle. These guys must be gods, little g, little gods, so they wanted to sacrifice to them. So we can see some pagan practices occurring here in the city in Lystra, which is one of the churches in Galatia. So we move from this miracle, from them trying to offer sacrifices, and let's move on. Let's read just one more verse, verse 19. But, transition word, but Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Well, you have people coming from Iconium, 30 miles away. You have people coming from Antioch, let's do the math, 115 miles away, all coming here to find Paul and Barnabas so they could stone him because they do not like his gospel message. So let's stone this guy. Now, you know, that's got to be some real hatred. If you're going to walk 115 miles to go somewhere just so you can get back at this guy, but that's exactly what they wanted to do. So trouble is following from Antioch and Iconium. It ends up in Lystra, 115 miles, and now they want to stone Paul to death. So let's move on. Let's look at just one, the next verse, verse 20. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. The next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. So I guess they didn't kill him like they thought they had killed him. So he moves from Lystra, and now he goes over here to this final city in Galatia, a city called Derbe. Now, I know this map is probably not proportional, because it says from Lystra to Derbe is another 30 miles. So they go on to this Derbe, and this will be the third city in our area of Galatia that he is going to. So we know that he's now there. Let's read verses 21 through 23. After they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying, "Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." When they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Now, I don't know about you, but if they wanted to stone me here, and they wanted to stone me here, chances are I would not be going back that same way. But Paul went back the same way that he came. He visited those same churches, and he wanted to strengthen them, telling them, listen, guys and gals, there is going to be persecution. If you're going to stand for the gospel message, expect this. And he appoints elders in all those churches and those cities. Now, again, I don't know about you, but I'd probably make Everett an elder. No, thanks. I don't want to be an elder. Because who are they going to come and stone next? The leaders of these churches, right? So they're going to come and do that. At least we can speculate that. But Paul goes back. He takes the red line back. And he's now back in Antioch at this time. And they have appointed elders in all those churches. Verses 24 through the end of the chapter. They passed through Pisidia and came into Pamphylia. When they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, over to here. From there, they sailed to Antioch, back to home base, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had accomplished. When they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how they had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they spent a long time with the disciples. So Paul makes this first, what we call the first missionary journey, and he goes through the area of Galatia. Now, time-wise, this is probably somewhere around the year 45 AD. Probably somewhere between 10 to 15 years after Christ was crucified. So he makes this missionary journey. He makes a lot of enemies, but he makes a lot of converts too along the way. And he ends up back at Antioch. If you were to do your geography, Paul traveled approximately 1,245 miles on this entire journey on this first missionary run. And we know that he takes at least two more missionary journeys. Now, we're going to end up the story with reading just the first five verses of the book of Acts, chapter 15, and then we'll end there. 15, verse 1. Some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, "Unless you are circumcised, according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. Therefore, being sent on their way by the church, they were passing through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion. Describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and were bringing great joy to all the brethren. When they arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed stood up, saying, "It is necessary to circumcise and to direct them to observe the law of Moses. So here's Paul. He now took his missionary journey. He goes back to Jerusalem to meet up with the apostles and the other disciples to plead his case. And we know the case because we've read the first three chapters of the book of Galatians. Paul is saying this: we do not get saved by any works, certainly not by circumcision. But by this time, these people who are called Judaizers, have gone from Antioch, and now they are retracing Paul's steps through these churches back in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and telling them this: you know that guy Paul that was here? He didn't tell you everything that you needed to know. You also need to be circumcised to be saved. And now Paul has an issue on his hand. He works it out at the Jerusalem Council here in Acts chapter 15 later on. We won't be reading that here this morning. But what does Paul have to do? He has to get back with the churches that he started back up here and let them know that circumcision is not necessary. Within 5 years after Paul visited and founded these churches, these Judaizers have now come back into those churches and said, guess what? Now you need to be circumcised too. You need to follow the Mosaic law. Why does Paul write the book of Galatians? Because he needs to correct that error. Now, I said all that to let you know, how did these churches get started? As Paul Harvey would say, and now you know the rest of the story. So how did they get started? Now you know the history behind that. Paul took a missionary journey. He founded these churches. He let the people in the synagogues and elsewhere know that the Messiah had arrived and that it is by faith that you are saved and not by works. Of course, there will always be false teachers, committed churches to try to lead the people astray. Paul needed to write this book of Galatians to set them straight. It is not by works. It is strictly by faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. I told you so 5 years ago, and now I got to write back to you again and let you know that what I said was true. So there's the history. There's the background information of how these churches got started. I think now that it was the midway point of our study, that I thought it would be a good opportunity to bring this to your attention. And next Sunday, we will get back to chapter 4 and continue back in Galatians. But again, now you know the background. You know the rest of the story. Let's pray.